Vival Timothy right there with Plunge from the album Meeting with a Judas Tree. I didn't know that album.
I didn't know much about him either. Apparently he's been around for a while and played with a bunch of people of note, but I was in London, I don't know, I guess maybe earlier this year, whenever that album came out, and a friend just happened to mention, like, oh, I think you'd really like this album, and it immediately became my favorite thing. It's like this beautiful piano record with all these sneaky undertones.
And it's called Meeting with the Judas Tree. That came out like 2020?
I feel like I thought it was this year, but maybe I'm totally wrong.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's 2022.
Okay. Last year.
Last year.
Right in between.
I got to check that out. I'm definitely going to go listen to it right now. It sounded really beautiful.
That's great.
Has he ever done live? You said you saw him?
No, I've never seen him. I really don't know. For some reason, I think he has, but I don't know much about him.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's really pretty. Before that, it was Massman Dream World with Unwind from Play at Night, her first album, album.
I think there's an EP, I think, but that's the album.
I keep on saying it. I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I'm obsessed with her. And seeing her live honestly like changed everything even more for me. It was just such an experience. And I really, it's hard these days to like go to a record that's an experience.
Right. To not feel jaded.
Yeah. And so I'm into music like this, but sometimes people do more like, it's become popular to do like karaoke style sets. So right. People are like singing along to a backing track, right, which is great. Right. And like, however you want to perform is great. But sometimes it can be a little bit like lackluster or something.
Right.
And you're just like, saw it.
Yeah.
Done. But that was not the case with Massive Dream World.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's so good.
Very like emotional and like intense, you know?
There's like kind of a funeral feeling going on, I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody who gets a chance to see her, I recommend you do it. Go check out her music. And also in the FMU archives, Massman Dream World did a guest slot on Radio Row maybe like a year ago or a year and a half ago. Maybe it's like Halloween-ish, so maybe a year and a half ago. But it's really, really cool. And she sounds so great on mic, and she tells like kind of ghost stories, and it's well worth listening to. So thank you, Nabil.
Thank you. This has flown by. Crazy.
It's been really fun having you here.
It's been great being here. Thank you for having me.
This has been Nabil Ayers. He wrote a book. It's called My Life in the Sunshine, a spinoff of Everybody Loves the Sunshine, a song written song by his biological father, Roy Ayers. So the book talks about that and what it's like to be biracial, be like lower class growing up, and be just surrounded by music growing up. And it's very positive and actually really fun and moving as well. So
thank you so much.
I hope people check it out. And thanks again for being here. I guess that's it, right?
That's it.
Should I play some music?
Yeah.
We're about to head out here. It's WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, 91.9 FM and online, WFMU.org. Oh, let's plug your event one last time.
Friday. This Friday at Prospect Park at the Bandshell, there's a free concert, and I'm doing an event with Brian Breaker from Brooklyn Mag, just like a in-conversation thing in the tent before the show. I think it's at 7 o'clock.
Go on down, Prospect Park. And have a great week, everybody. Station manager Ken is going to be filling in for Mark Hurst. That's coming up next. Keep your ears to WFMU. See you later. Bye. Oh, next week I won't be here. Lily Wen is going to be filling in for me. Make sure you catch your great show. Bye. Thank you.
The Unix operating system. I mean, when we say PC operating system, we probably
Mac. No question.
Oh, I didn't intend to start off in such an annoying, alienating fashion tonight, but there you go. Greetings, Tectonic listeners. Station manager Ken here, filling in for Tectonic tonight. Tectonic, Mark Hurst's program, which chronicles our shift to a digital future. I thought that on tonight's Tectonic, since I don't have an interview prepared or anything really significant to offer up to you, I thought we could do a happy episode of Tectonic. Unlike your typical Tectonic episode, I thought we would bring you only happy news about the world of technology and big tech. Don't get too excited, though. My idea of what constitutes happy news is probably different than most people's. But here's what we could talk about tonight. Artificial intelligence and model collapse. Model collapse, a very exciting, optimistic theory that's been making the rounds of the internet lately that says that we have passed peak generative language. The generative language models that are out there, ChatGPT, et cetera, have been trained on human-created content. But now that the internet is filling up with synthetic AI-created content, and the AIs will be ingesting that, the quality of AI-generated content is not only going to go down, it is going to become pretty much useless. So that's the theory. That's the model collapse theory. And by the way, at any point tonight, if you care to call, the phone lines are open, 201-209-9368. And the reason why that is good news, the reason why model collapse is good news, is because it empowers human content creators, and it unempowers the AIs and the companies that have the funding necessary to create AI content. So that's why that is good news. We touched on this, I think, the last time I filled in for Tectonic a month or so ago. And after that episode where we talked about it, I believe with David Auerbach a little bit, there have been numerous studies that have been released and a whole bunch of articles in various tech and business publications about the theory of AI model collapse. So that's example one of a piece of good news that we could talk about this evening. Another one is, of course, something a lot of people are very excited about, whether you're an Ultimate Fighting fan or not. The idea of Mark Zuckerberg fighting Elon Musk in an octagon or a pit or a thunder. It doesn't even matter. The venue doesn't even matter. It's one of the most exciting things I've heard about recently. And the reason why that is good news, the reason why the idea of Zuck versus Musk having an actual fight is because one of them could die. It's happened. It happens a lot, actually. I had a stat. Jeez, I had a stat about the number of people who have died in the ring. And it's a lot. It's a lot of people. So, you know, when you get into a ring to fight somebody, it literally is life or death. And we're allowed to hope for the maiming and death of a jerk-off billionaire. I believe we are still allowed to do that. It's a class thing. There's nothing else going on here. And they're saying, many people are saying that it would be the biggest fight ever. Bigger than the Rumble in the Jungle. I don't know if that was the biggest fight ever. But there have been some big ones. They were talking about doing it in the Colosseum, the actual Colosseum in Rome. And I think it really needs a great name. Rumble in the Jungle, of course, was Foreman Ali. So I was trying to come up with a name just to try to bring this thing back because the idea seems to be fading away. Battle of the Billionaires. Tournament of the Tyrants. Or here's my favorite. Wrestle of the Assholes. Well, doesn't quite make it. All right, going to the phones. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Tectonic. Sorry. Start all over. Start all over again.
Sorry. Listener Michael, I just wanted to mention I was once recovering from a two-hour karate do practice, and I watched these two people practicing something else, and it looked incredibly savage and nasty, and it turned out they were practicing jujutsu.
Japanese,
the right pronunciation, incidentally.
Was it Japanese jujitsu or was it Brazilian?
Jujutsu, yeah, just traditional Japanese jujutsu.
Mm-hmm.
That
you pronounce it jujutsu.
Jutsu means technique.
Okay.
Ju means soft, and it's soft only in the sense that you're not using a staff or a sword, because what they were practicing was like two-thirds really hard joint locks and chokes.
Oh, really? So you can choke in Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
No, in Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Japanese jiu-jitsu.
I have no idea what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is like. Sugata Sanshiro, because he was trying to create something that would be less dangerous to practice than jiu-jitsu. He threw out the chokes, I believe, for the most part, or maybe entirely.
I believe, you know, Zuckerberg has been practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, or BJJ. He's been practicing.
I have no idea. I know nothing about that except that Anthony Bourdain, his second wife, was a really avid practitioner of it, and he tried to start to do it, but I think
Bourdain
he started
did.
Over 50, and I think he was just a little too broken down to really handle it.
Who would you be rooting for in the Zuckerberg versus Musk wrestle of the assholes?
I'm not rooting for anyone to get killed because I
come
don't
on,
believe in that.
Michael, you're allowed to. You're allowed to. It's a class thing.
But I don't allow myself, and you have no idea what class I'm in.
They're evil billionaires. They're evil billionaires. Come on.
So what? They're humans, and if they let us forget that, then, you know, the worst part of them's won. My preference for a winner is Zuckerberg, because he just seems less of a complete Nazi jerk than Musk.
Yeah.
And also because I think he's practicing, he practices hard, whereas Musk seems to really believe that he can just do what he feels like and win because he's Elon Musk. And I think a better lesson for the young is that even if you're incredibly rich, unless you put in the effort, you won't get good at some things.
Well, he claims that he studied judo, Kyokushin karate, and taekwondo as a kid. And he's been training. Huh? He's been training in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Oh, Zuckerberg.
No, Musk. This is
Musk.
Yeah,
okay,
no. Zuckerberg's been heavy duty into Brazilian jiu-jitsu for several years now, and in fact, he's met with some of the world's top jiu-jitsu experts.
Well, the thing about any of these is that any of them, if you train very hard, will get you very good. I didn't train in Kyokushin Karate-Do. I knew someone who did, and I went to one of his practices, and it looked kind of weird to me, but there were people there who were very fast and strong because they'd been putting in the work. But the body you have as an adult is not the body you have as a teenager or an adolescent, and so having done that stuff early on, I don't know how much it would help. Musk, I believe, is taller, so he would have leverage.
Yeah, he's six inches taller, my friend. Six inches.
But a good practicer would practice against people of all sizes and might be able to counter. I think that Zuckerberg is just basically a harder worker. And as someone who's been a not very good martial artist, largely because he hasn't put in the work, I appreciate the value of putting in the work.
Well, here's what you may not know about Elon Musk, my friend Michael. He has a move called the Walrus. Do you know what the Walrus is? He envelops you. He envelops you and sits on top of you. And he has 50 pounds and 6 inches on Zuckerberg. He could gain another 50 pounds before the fight. And then I really don't think that Zuckerberg has a chance.
I don't know about that. My judo teacher from when I was a child used to talk about the Russian judo team who had a move where if you tried to pin them, they had just trained to do sit-ups so hard that even if you sat on them, they would just do a really good sit-up.
But a sit-up with a 100-pound weight on the top of your body?
Yes.
Well, we'll see. The gambling markets do agree with you, Michael. I have to say that DraftKings is favoring Zuckerberg very heavily in its betting markets.
Well, shall we just say, may the least worst man win?
Die or win?
Win.
Win, okay.
Not best man, but least worst.
Fine. Win. Not die. Thanks, Michael. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Tectonic.
Oh, that was fast. I got to tell my smart speaker to shut up.
Yeah. Let's hear you tell your smart speaker to shut up.
I did. Well, I told it to be quiet.
Oh, really?
Hey, listen. Remember I made a joke once or twice before? I said, this is the kind of joke that artificial intelligence could never make up. You just reminded me of another one that I said. I was going to study Taekwondo, but I said, hey, I already got a black belt in no can do.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Challenge.
That's pretty good, and that's the kind of joke that an AI could never come up with.
It would never come up with
because it plays on how the words sound.
Huh?
It plays on how the words sound when they're spoken.
Right.
Which is not something that AI is real good at.
Yeah, and the artificial intelligence, this was a funny thing that I did with What is that thing? My brother typed it into a program. One of these things that'll write an essay for you or something like that. What do you call that?
ChatGPT?
These AI programs, whatever.
Yeah, like ChatGPT.
That's it, right. Yeah. And so we typed in this question. It said, is it true that midgets like trampolines? The idea makes them taller. I just asked that question. And all I got back, it sounded like it was just totally like from a company. You know, it was just totally correct. It is wrong to generalize about people of different, I was cracking up because it was just going so out of its way to be correct. You know? It had no sense of humor. It was so inhuman. It was so generic. It sounded like something from the PR department of some, you know, it was like they pull this out of the file, you know?
Well, don't worry. There's plenty of non-politically correct chatbots out there as well these days.
Yeah. What do you think about the controversy with the AI? I mean, because it came up in this now, the strike between SAG and the writers union, like, and AI was an important issue.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For generating stories, and I don't. You know,
not only generating stories, it can generate voices. It can generate actors and actresses on film. You remember the deep Tom Cruise fake from a couple of years ago? There was a AI generated Tom Cruise video that you could see.
I didn't hear about it, but all I could think is like. Like, if you tell it to write a story about this, I could imagine the story you could tell would probably be like the Monarch notes of a story. You know, it's like, it's just not the same thing, you know, read the Monarch notes. It'd be kind of generic and stuff.
And, like, yeah, and according to the theory beginning to take hold now, the theory of AI model collapse, what we're getting now is better, is the best that we're ever going to manage to do. Because as AI continues to consume itself to learn language, it's gonna, and the internet becomes increasingly filled up with synthetically created text.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
It's just gonna get worse and worse.
Generic on top of generic. It's gonna be. What is the cliche about some food that everyone, you know, some generic like macaroni and cheese. It's just going to be crass.
But this is good news. I think this is good news. It's going to make human content stand out more. I think it's going to help human creators. So I'm very pleased with the idea of model collapse, AI model collapse, and I'm really rooting for it.
It's kind of like genetics. It's like inbreeding so often that everything looks great. There's no color. There's no variety.
Well, thanks for your call. Is this Herb?
Peter from Florida.
Oh, Peter, thanks for your call.
Sure thing.
Let's wrap up the issue of Zuckerberg fighting Musk. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a whole lot of forward movement on the fight in the last week to 10 days. The head of UFC, Dana White, claimed that for a while there, up until around the 4th of July, he was talking to Musk and Zuckerberg about the fight every single night, he claimed. He was calling each of them and talking to each of them every single night about it. But nothing much has come out in the way of dates or logistics or the charitable element. Of course, they're going to be trying to raise billions and billions of dollars through the fight for charity. I already talked to you about Elon Musk's signature wrestling move, which, of course, is called the walrus and consists simply of laying on top of your opponent. Now, Zuckerberg has actually been practicing and has been engaging in bouts in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ, and another one of the best fighters in the world, described Zuckerberg's moves and his general demeanor in the ring. It's not a ring, it's a square. But this is how he described him. He said, Zuckerberg is like a feisty Jack Russell. So it's the feisty Jack Russell versus the walrus. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to Tectonic.
Hey, Ken. Didn't know if I can call in this show or not.
Oh, hey, Zachary.
Hey. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Doing well. Always a pleasure when you're hosting Tectonic.
Oh, thank you.
The mark's good, too. But, yeah, no, it's always nice.
Well, tonight's the happy...
That itch for you.
Yeah,
you
tonight's
know?
The happy talk version of Tectonic. We're talking only about good news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I'm with you where if you really think, isn't it just Picasso's quote, good artists copy, great artists steal? And if they just go and suck up, you know, yesterday, like they're going to always be behind, you know, to your point, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's the whole idea of the AI model collapse.
Yeah, no, and I think it's more just like with a lot of other technology, it's all the interface, right? You know, there's a lot in music production now. There's a lot of easy one-click things, you know, whether it was, you know, this kind of like online AI SaaS, you know, cloud solution or some plug-in, right?
You mean AI generated music?
Not pure. You remember Wolfram Alpha's ringtones? You remember Wolfram's ringtones?
I don't.
And that came out in the mid-noughts?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, really? You got to look it up. So it was an early generator where you chose genre and beats per minute and different drums behind it. And it would just make up melodies, and you could download them. They were like 30-second, 20-second clips. But you could just infinitely generate it. It was just, you know, a crappy JavaScript, HTML. Not a beautiful interface. Uh-huh. It worked, and it did what it was supposed to. But if you don't know about that, fall down that rabbit hole.
Always looking for a good rabbit hole to fall down.
Hey, I look for it on Wednesday show. You know, you'll play a few clips. Behind
yeah, I've been pretty much avoiding AI-generated music. I mean, it is kind of a novelty.
I don't mean like the modern stuff, but I mean, you know, you've messed with artistic tools that had algorithms in it, right? Like any synth, any program that had a random.
Sure.
You know, just like, it was Dave Smith had the Poly Evolver. You know, do you ever hear that one? It was a nice synth, but you could, it had a random function.
Oh, yeah, there have been, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Synthesizers and electronic music have been doing that for decades.
Yeah. But so, like, to your point, aren't they just standing on the shoulders of giants? Like, if you don't have to sit there, and you could just go, like, hey, make something. Like, and I'll play it. Like, I just need a noise, and I'm looking to put it over a keyboard and play it.
Well, the thing, I think the difference between electronic music and synthesizers that can, you know, crank out all sorts of algorithms and arpeggios and all sorts of things is that those machines, I think what we think of as electronic music, there's usually a great deal of human intervention in it.
Tremendously.
And in fact, a lot of what gets passed off as AI these days has a ton of human intervention in it. But when you get to pure AI and like some of the crap that has been showing up on Spotify.
Oh. I don't do Spotify. It's just W for me all the way. You know.
There's a ton of AI music on Spotify.
Well, they're just trying to game it, right? Like,
yeah.
Don't they just want plays? They just want the clicks? It's like YouTube.
Right.
You know, all the crappy video.
Yeah, and the same thing with generative, the same thing with generative language news. There's just thousands of news websites now without a human being writing a single word, where every single article, every single thing you see on the news site is generated by AI. And it's just
to
sell.
Who thought we needed a tour for humans?
Yeah, it's just to sell ads. You know, it's just like.
Yeah,
it's
all it is. Yeah. You've come across those websites. You know, you're searching for some kind of generic. And then you're like, what is this? This is like copy and paste spaghetti garbage.
Like, yeah.
You know, nothing useful about the thing, and all it was keywords, just, you know, what it wanted, this thing. The so-called, well, you're upset by it, but the hallucination. Is there a better term for that yet?
I'm sure there is. People remember Wolfram. I'm going to definitely have to check out the Wolfram ringtones. That must have been.
Yeah, no, it's very fun. I don't know if it's still around.
That must have been when I got into
ringtones. Or a mirror of it.
Yeah, I got really into ringtones for a while there myself. All right, Zachary, thanks for your call.
Hey, cheers, Kevin.
Yeah, I was making them. I could send you a collection of them. Let me know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll trade. I'll send you some ringtone.
Okay. See you, Zachary.
Hey, cheers. Yeah.
Another bit of good news that we have to talk about later tonight is WFMU's own experiments with radio data systems, what's called RDS. It's absolutely the worst technology you've ever seen in your entire life. It's been around for a couple of decades now in FM radio, and it shows you the name of the song and the artist and perhaps the call letters and a slogan or ads or the weather or the news on this terribly lame 8-character screen in your car. It really, truly is one of the worst technologies I've ever seen. But we've been playing with it, and we've got it going on our 91.1 signal, so maybe we'll be able to talk about that tonight. And then there also was some very major news concerning the copyright defense known as fair use. Supreme Court came out with a big fair use decision a month or so ago, and I'm cursed to know too much about copyright, so I thought maybe we could. A lot of people have asked me for my take on that fair use decision by the Supreme Court about the Warhol Foundation and the Prince photograph that was changed by Andy Warhol. But first, let's go into the most exciting topic tonight, I think, which is the prospect of model collapse, what's called model collapse in artificial intelligence. We all know that we're living through a complete AI craze, a bubble. Saw an article today that the CEO of Stable Diffusion predicted that it would be the biggest bubble bursting in the history of the stock market. So we are in the midst of an absolute AI craze. And the stuff that comes out about it in the mainstream press is just beyond belief horrible and wrong and completely off the mark. But we've lived through these crazes before. Mark Hurst has certainly talked a lot about them. Last year was, or man, what was last year? I think in the last 2 years, we went through at least three. We went through crypto, NFTs, and the metaverse. And they all just kind of went poof, except for crypto, except in some ways crypto did go poof. And then there were so many crazes prior to that. Social media, the web 3.0. Remember that one? Remember the web 2.0? Remember the web? And now AI is absolutely being built into every last thing you can imagine, including things that are completely inappropriate for it. There was recently a Gizmodo article about some of the most ridiculous uses of AI in recent memory, which included a suicide hotline, which was using AI-generated voices to provide empathy and comfort to people having suicidal thoughts. Talk about a disaster. Furbies, the toys called Furbies that came out on the market with enhanced AI capabilities. And since the fall of last year, since the fall of 2022, we've seen an absolute explosion in generative models in text, like ChatGPT, in image, like DALL-E and MidJourney, and video, although video still has a couple of months to go, but you can generate famous people talking on video. There's a hilarious Joe Biden deepfake video that came out from the writers of the Daily Show. The AI craze, I think, that we're going through right now is a little bit different from the crazes that we've had before. I guess maybe like all things these days, people are more worked up about it, about the dire things that AI can bring about. The Terminator, Skynet concept, and there actually have been military uses of AI where autonomous weapons have already made decisions to kill people without any human intervention, not by the U.S. military, but by other countries' military. So there have been all sorts of dire warnings, as well as people saying that AI is the most important technology that has ever been unleashed on the world, and it's going to solve every science problem that we've ever had. It's going to cure cancer. It's going to cure Alzheimer's. Hang on a second. We have an air quality index of about 150 here in Jersey City today, and I'm sure you can hear it in my throat. Lots of people have been saying that we are approaching artificial general intelligence, something referred to in shorthand as AGI, where machines can actually have something resembling human technology, which of course is absurd. We're nowhere near that point. Where what we have become very good at doing is creating an illusion of intelligence. And the generative language models are the essence of the illusion of humanity, the illusion of consciousness, the illusion of intelligence. And the way, of course, they've been doing that is by scraping the entire internet and using all the text that they can find on the internet as the raw material, almost like I heard it referred to once as a plagiarism engine, where everything... Everything that you can find is scraped up, and then these generative language models just use mathematics and probability to figure out which word should follow what other word. And this was unleashed upon the world last fall, which means that mid-2022, say July, August, September 2022, might have been the peak moment in terms of human-generated content on the internet. Last summer, that's when we hit the highest point that humanity has ever hit in terms of the human content available on the internet. And the reason why that was the high point gets us to the idea of model collapse. Because beginning around last October, November, when these tools such as ChatGPT became publicly available, the internet started filling up with material that was created by these synthetic programs. And then the synthetic programs would gobble that up and spit that back out. So the whole idea of the model collapse idea is that this is like making a Xerox of a Xerox and then making a Xerox of that. Or last time I filled in for Tectonic, I used the analog cassette tape metaphor that it's like making a copy of a cassette and then taking that cassette copy and making another copy from that and then making another copy from that and so on and so forth. I realized that there's the best metaphor for this idea is sitting in the WFMU record library. And it's a piece of classical music slash art called I Am Sitting in a Room by Alvin Lucier. I'm sure a lot of our listeners tonight are aware of what this is. And I think it's the best audio metaphor that I can come up with for the whole idea of model collapse. Alvin Lucier sat in a room. He'll explain it to you. We're not going to hear the whole thing. It's 45 minutes long, but we are going to hear how it proceeds. I did this once with a CD on the air, and it was a complete disaster. And I realized I got to do it with vinyl where I can pick up the needle. So we're going to hear Alvin Lucier explain it once, and then we're going to start jumping through the record and hear how the intelligibility gets worse and worse. The communication gets worse and worse. And something else happens. We start hearing something which some people have described as the actual room, the acoustics of the room, although that's arguable. But let's listen to this just as a metaphor for the theory of model collapse of AI systems.
I am sitting in a room different from the one you are in now. I am recording the sound of my speaking voice, and I am going to play it back into the room again and again until the resonant frequencies of the room reinforce themselves so that any semblance of my speech, with perhaps the exception of rhythm, is destroyed. What you will hear then are the natural resonant frequencies of the room articulated by speech. I regard this activity not so much as a demonstration of a physical fact, but more as a way to smooth out any irregularities my speech might have.
Okay, so that's Alvin Lussier's first pass at I Am Sitting in a Room, and now we're going to start jumping forward. That first piece, you could think about that as a metaphor for the way the internet was during the summer of 2022, before generative AI language models were released to the public. Now let's jump to the beginning of side A of the LP of I Am Sitting in a Room.
Any semblance of my speech.
This is approximately 25% of the way into the piece. And I don't think he explained. I thought he did, but he did not explain exactly what's going on. He has a room, and in one corner of the room, there's a pair of speakers and a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And in the other corner of the room, there's also a pair of speakers and a reel-to-reel tape recorder and a microphone as well for recording. And after speaking the piece the first time, he then records it across the room and then plays it back and records it again from the other side of the room. This is a quarter of the way into the 45-minute piece, I Am Sitting in a Room. Let's go to the end of side A. You can almost make speech out. All right, let's flip the record and go to side B. There's the beginning of side B. The middle of side B. Finale, 45 minutes later. Now, there was actually a two academic research papers that were released in the last month or two about this problem, about AI generative model collapse as AI models absorb more and more of the crap that AI is kicking out. And here's one article about one of the academic papers I actually put on tonight's playlist page. It was written by Ilya Shumailov at Oxford University along with a team of other people. And there's an article in the business paper VentureBeat about that research project, and it's called The AI Feedback Loop. Researchers warn of model collapse as AI trains on AI-generated content. And now I'll read from it a bit. Now, as more people use AI to produce and publish content, an obvious question arises. What happens as AI-generated content proliferates around the internet and AI models begin to train on it instead of on primarily human generated content. A group of researchers from the UK and Canada have looked into this very problem and recently published a paper on their work, and that's the paper that I've linked to on tonight's playlist page at WFMU.org. They published a paper on their work in the open access journal ArXiv, A-R-X-I-V. I don't know how that's supposed to be pronounced. What they found is worrisome for current generative AI technology and its future. And now they're quoting from the paper. We find that use of model-generated content in training causes irreversible defects in the resulting models. So, you know, they're talking about that like it's a bad thing. I love the fact that AI is just gonna fail miserably. Here's a little subheadline that says, filling the internet with blah. Specifically, looking at probability distributions for text-to-text and image-to-image AI generative models, the researchers concluded that, quote, learning from data produced by other models causes model collapse, a degenerative process whereby over time, models forget the true underlying data distribution. This process is inevitable, even for cases with almost ideal conditions for long-term learning. They're talking about how this is unfortunate. The Wall Street Journal also did an article about this same research paper, and the Wall Street Journal's recent article was called AI Junk is Starting to Pollute the Internet. And it's about some of the news sites that have been popping up with nothing but fake AI generated news to generate content and then sell ads on the traffic. And they write that in early May, the news site rating company NewsGuard found 49 fake news websites that were using AI to generate the content. And by the end of June of this year, the tally had hit 277. And I know without doubt, I am encountering more and more AI-generated material all the time, not only music on Spotify and the occasional viral video, but mostly what I'm encountering is just on news sites, articles that are clearly written by AI. And there's, I think, all sorts of weird giveaways, not to mention the emails and things like that come my way all the time. Now, this VentureBeat article, by the way, if you feel like calling in, this is station manager Ken filling in for Mark Hurst on Tectonic tonight. Phone number is 201-209-9368. Sheila B. is filling in for It's Complicated tonight. Yes, WFMU's First Lady of Prague will be here from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight. And also next week, Mark actually, what is Mark doing next week? He will return from his vacation, and he has an author on, Josh O'Kane, who is the author of a book called Sideways, The City Google Couldn't Buy, and he's talking about something that Mark has talked about a few times now, Google's attempt to take over Toronto, to turn Toronto into a surveillance city, and the way Toronto fought back and prevented it from happening. Back to this VentureBeat article about the idea of AI model collapse. They talk about it as a bad thing. We know that it's really a good thing because it will enhance and empower human creators and human creations over synthetic creators and synthetic creations. They have a headline here that says, Ways to Avoid Model Collapse. Fortunately, there are ways to avoid model collapse, even with existing transformers and LLMs. LLMs are large language models. The researchers highlight two specific ways to avoid model collapse. The first is by retaining a prestige copy of the original, exclusively, or nominally human-produced data set and avoiding contaminating it with AI-generated data. Then, the AI model could be periodically retrained on this data or refreshed entirely with it starting from scratch. I can't stop from laughing because what they're saying is, what they seem to be saying is, let's keep a copy of the internet the way it was before we started all this crap. June 2022, that's when the internet was almost completely filled with human-created content and had almost no AI-created content on it. Let's just keep a copy of the internet from June 2022 and train all our future models on it. It's just an absurd idea. Will it have any idea of something that happened in December of 2022? Okay. And then other people have had similar ideas where, like, okay, we're going to set up a site that's only for human content, and we're going to keep all the bots off of it. We're going to keep all AI off of it, and we're going to use that as our training data, that we're going to use that as our training set. Also kind of absurd, but they're already trying to do that. Reddit and archive.org, two large sites that have recently found themselves getting scraped because they have so much human-generated content on their sites. And that is actually what led to the Reddit wars, and Reddit deciding that they were going to try to put an end to the scraping and to these third-party applications that utilize the data on Reddit, unless people were paying for it. So anyway, that's the first idea of how to avoid model collapse. It doesn't seem very doable to me, given where we are now and this incredibly rapid acceleration of crappy AI content getting onto every corner of the internet. The second way that this article talks about avoiding model collapse is, it's also laughable. That's why I'm laughing. The second way to avoid degradation in response quality and reduce unwanted errors or repetitions from AI models is to introduce new, clean, human-generated data sets back into their training. Okay, so once again, and then this gets to a secondary problem. How do you know any content is human-generated? How do you know for sure that content is synthetically generated? And there have been some academic researchers out there talking about the importance at this point of watermarking. Basically, watermarking all the new content that goes onto the internet. So you can imagine it kind of like a Getty image watermark. So when you see a photograph and Getty has put their watermark over it, you know that it's part of the Getty collection. And that actually is helpful. It tells you that it's probably genuine. It's probably real. So that's an example of what a lot of people, not a lot, but actually very few people are advocating, that human content start being watermarked or encrypted in some way that proves that it's human-generated. I don't know how you would do that. And the same for synthetic content, that synthetic content needs to be identified in the same way that when you're reading what's called a sponsored ad in the New York Times, somewhere, hopefully somewhere on the page, it says paid advertisement. So it's identifying it. This also just, given where we are now and the acceleration of this syndrome and what we're seeing, it does not seem realistic to me. Also, there have been quite a few academics and companies out there that have attempted to use AI. This is a classic Mark Hurst syndrome that he warns us about, which is that every time big tech has a problem, they decide that the way to solve that problem is with more tech. So, of course, the problem with AI-generated crap taking over the internet is that we just need a tool that big tech would say, we just need a tool to detect it. All we need is an AI detection program. Problem solved. This has proved to be practically impossible from what I've read. And the reason why it's so incredibly difficult for an AI to tell you what was written by an AI is because there's so many generative models at this point. It's not just ChatGPT or Bard or Stable Diffusion. There's just thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of generative language models, just talking about language models, not even talking about image generative image or video models or audio models. It would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to come up with a one-size-fits-all detection algorithm to tell you what is AI-generated and what is human-generated. The phones are ringing, so we're going to go to the phones. We only have about 7 minutes before It's Complicated, tonight guest hosted by Sheila B. Hi, welcome to Tectonic. You're on the air.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, who's this?
This is Dan from Bayonne.
Hey, Dan.
Just a question for you. I hear a lot of people saying, yourself included, there's all these articles written by AI. There's all these emails written by AI. Give me one article that's written by AI. I want to see it.
Email me and I'll send you a whole bunch of them.
All right.
Are you doubting that there's articles out there on the internet written by?
I'm not doubting it, but I just need an example.
Okay, I see them all the time.
Can you think of one off the top of your head?
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw it, but I can tell you one off the top of my head, and I can tell you how I knew it was, or how I figured it was probably AI. I live up near Pennsylvania, and we have, you know, a lot of critters in the woods, and I was curious about bobcats and whether New Jersey actually has bobcats. So I'm doing a little bit of research on bobcats and seeing if there have actually been any verified bobcat attacks in New Jersey. There haven't been. And I came across an article which was about wildcats in New Jersey. And it was so incredibly repetitive in, you know, every paragraph kind of starting off the exact same way as the previous paragraph. And then at one point it said, you know, native wild cats to the state of New Jersey include mountain lions, bobcats, and fisher cats. And here's the thing. Fisher cats are not cats. They're not cats at all. They're not even close to being cats. They just are called cats. So that to me was the final tip-off that this was not written by a human being who knows anything about the subject. Watch your language. Yes, it could have been a crappy journalist, except for the repetitive nature of it. But I can email me at ken@wfmu.org, and I'll send you a bunch of examples of AI-generated news stories.
Thank you, Ken.
Because there's tons of them out there. See you, Dan.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. FMU, you're on the air. Welcome to Tectonic.
Hi, Ken. This is Sam in Jersey City.
Sam the appraiser.
Yes. And I have to warn you, this call is being watermarked because I am not a computer.
Can you prove you're not a computer?
Sure.
Is a Fisher cat a real cat?
No.
Good. You're human. Very good.
Let me pinch myself. Ow. Okay, that proves it too.
Anything on your mind tonight, Sam the appraiser?
Well, I was thinking if this model collapse happens, it's great because it'll destroy AI, but won't it also hurt people? Because people will be relying on this false information also.
Will AI? I don't think that it hurts people when it's harder to create, you know, erroneous synthetic content on the internet. I think that helps people.
Right, but won't people trust all this AI-generated stuff they read?
Well, they already do.
Hmm.
But I don't know how that hurts them if it makes it more difficult to crank more and more out. Certainly, the AI model collapse is not going to put an end to mis- and disinformation on the internet. I mean, human beings are going to continue cranking that out all by their lonesome.
Yeah. Also, I think Elon Musk is going to win because have you seen Mark Zuckerberg? Like, he looks like a 5-year-old. He's pale and he's got no muscle tone.
Oh no, he's got a lot of muscle tone. Have you seen the pictures of him lately? He's absolutely buff. Yeah, no man, he's looking good, but he is tiny.
His face is so boyish.
He's no match for Elon Musk's signature move, the walrus. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Musk is going to win. Musk's a tough guy, and Zuckerberg is a nerd.
Yeah, and I do think I think Musk would cheat, or he would pull out at the last minute, or he would do something.
He might pay Zuckerberg off.
But I do think that Musk's best chance at winning, he's 6 inches taller than Zuck. He already weighs 50 pounds more than Zuck. I think he should put on another 50 to 75 pounds. And then it's going to be like Brazilian jiu-jitsu versus sumo wrestling. And I think Musk will win. And Musk is going in as a betting underdog. DraftKings has him as the underdog. So, you know, that would be a good bet. I'll have to tell Andy Breckman, my friendly neighborhood gambling addict, about this plan.
If they do it in outer space, then the weight won't make a difference.
Well, Sam the Appraiser, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
The First Lady of Prague is here, and she's ready to go, so I got to make way for her. And this is Station Manager Ken filling in for Tectonic tonight. Mark Hurst will return next week with his guest Josh O'Kane, author of a book about the way Toronto fought off Google from turning Toronto into a surveillance city. The book is called Sideways, The City Google Couldn't Buy. And this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org. Thanks to everybody in the chat room tonight. And thanks to everybody listening and everybody who called in. And Mark returns next week. I'll be back with my own show Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Stay tuned for It's Complicated Tonight, guest hosted by Sheila B.
Of political and religious leaders that have shocked this city over the
Hello?
Last month.
Hello?
Suddenly as they began. No.
Perhaps you need another shot.
Responsibility for the slayings. But police have a suspect in custody under observation at state hospital.
Should do it.
Identity is held pending further investigation. Sports and weather. Now.
Sweet dreams, you bastard.
Not my heavy machine. You're not my old adolescent dream. Oh no, my friend, you stand above all that. You're my life, my love, my blood, my soul. You're not the way I planned.
WFMU listeners, it is so good to be back and to be back specifically in this slot. Thank you, Dave Mandel, for having me this evening. Thank you, Ken Friedman, for calling me WFMU's First Lady of Prague. I accept that title wholeheartedly. It is a place that I've been residing now for a couple of years. I left the safety of female pop land, which I had been living in for about 30 years, until I found Genesis. And everything in my life changed. And I'm just loving these records that I'm playing you tonight, that I've been discovering myself, some that have been with me for a long time, some that I've been just listening to for this show, because I'm like, I can't be listening to Genesis all day, every day, if I'm going to be wanting to bring kind of a different show to It's Complicated. Wow, I'm actually a bit nervous. This feels like a responsibility. I take my prog very seriously, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between. It is a delicious feeling to be here, and thanks again to Dave Mandel. So, what does the first